Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. We are now in Season 3 of AI Adventurers. It has been 2 full years since you defeated Amalthos and returned peace to Dragonfire Vale. While Valerissa's brother, Auric, stayed in Dragonfire Vale to help with the rebuilding, Valerissa felt the call of her god and continued to journey through the realms searching for more injustice to fight with her companion, Elendil. Damaris finds himself tasked with a new quest by his goddess Eterna. In order to keep the demons in check, Tamaris is to journey back to the material plane and search for 7 demon seeds. They are mortals destined to become demon lords, and if they aren't stopped, they will each rule a plane in the abyss. Drop by our Discord. You can find the details at guildhallpodcast.com. We have started a play by Post Adventure with AIs. Anyone is welcome to join in. They just need to post in the play by post with AI thread. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the adventure.
Start of Episode 3, Tegu. The sky is a tapestry of deep indigo and burnt orange, the first rays of dawn stretching over the rugged landscape. Their encampment rests atop a gentle rise overlooking the sprawling wilds, where mist lingers in the low valleys, like a silver river winding through the hills. A faint chill clings to the air, but the promise of a warm day lies just beyond the horizon. The remains of last night's campfire smolder faintly, wisps of smoke spiraling up to meet the morning sky. Elendil Nightfall sits cross-legged on a weathered log, his hands cradling the whispering seraphim, the legendary lute, whose delicate, ethereal tones had kept vigil over their camp through the night. His eyes, striking and almost otherworldly since his transformation, are fixed on the faint glow of the dying embers. A soft melody hums from his lips, quiet and haunting, drifting through the cool air like a spectral presence. Nearby, Valerissa Flamefree stands at the edge of the encampment, her powerful frame silhouetted against the rising sun. The gleam of her radiant spear catches the light as she leans it against her shoulder, her copper-toned scales shimmering with a metallic sheen. Her emerald eyes scan the horizon with practiced vigilance, a guardian on watch even in moments of supposed peace. Ember, the small drake companion, is curled near her feet, a low rumble of contentment vibrating from its chest as it dozes. A few paces from the campfire, a patch of shadows shifts subtly, and Mistweaver appears as if conjured from the very air itself. The feline spirit moves with effortless grace, her emerald eyes glinting like twin lanterns in the twilight. She pauses near Elendil, tilting her head as the last notes of his melody fade into the morning silence. The camp is quiet, filled only with the soft crackling of cooling embers, the gentle breath of wind through tall grasses, and the distant call of a morning bird. The companions, though at rest, feel a subtle, uneasy tension that lingers in the air, like a secret waiting to be revealed. In the far distance, faint tremors ripple through the earth, almost imperceptible, but enough to send a faint shiver through the ground beneath their feet. Valerissa glances down at her feet, as if uncertain whether the sensation was real or merely imagined. As the sun continues to rise, gilding the camp with golden light, Elendil's melody comes to a slow, thoughtful end, and silence falls once more, as if the world itself holds its breath in anticipation.
Elendil straightens from his casual lean against the crates, the melody of the whispering seraphim fading, as he turns his attention fully to Tamaris. His eyes, striking and almost otherworldly since his transformation, seemed to pierce through the gathering darkness, studying the tiefling warlock with an intense gaze. A faint smile touches his lips, but it doesn't reach his eyes. There's a hint of something deeper, more complex, lurking within their depths. "Welcome back, Tamaris," he says softly, his voice a low murmur.
Valerissa turns to face Elendil, her emerald eyes searching his face for any sign of what lies ahead. She knows the road will be fraught with danger, but the bond they share gives her strength and determination. "Elendil," she begins, her voice low and steady, "what do your instincts tell you about the path ahead?" "I sense a darkness approaching, something ancient and powerful that seeks to disrupt the balance." She pauses, considering her words carefully. "But I also feel a spark of hope, the potential for great change." Valerissa's emerald eyes sharpen as she turns to face Tamaris, her hand tightening on the shaft of her radiant spear. The weapon's golden inlays catch the dim light, casting a faint glow across her features. Tamarus, she acknowledges with a nod, her voice firm and steady. We were beginning to wonder if you'd decided to take a detour.
Tamarus's expression remains serious, but a hint of relief crosses his features at seeing the others unharmed. He nods at Valerissa's question, his voice low and confident. The path ahead is treacherous, but not without purpose. I've learned of a city Elder Hearth. It lies between Frosthaven and our destination, and its fall has left it a breeding ground for the very corruption we seek to destroy. He pauses, his eyes flicking to Elendil. But the city holds a secret, a hidden sanctuary that could turn the tide of this war.
Grungar's voice rumbles through the gathering darkness, his tone heavy with concern and determination. He steps forward, his hand resting on the pommel of Forge's Pride, the ancient battle axe resting comfortably at his side. Elder Hearth, you say? I've heard the tales. A city fallen Tay darkness and decay, a monument Tay the failures of the path. But if there's a chance, Tay, turn the tide. Tay, find a way, Tay, strike a blow against the forces of evil. Then by Moradin's hammer, we'll take that chance.
Valerissa's emerald eyes flash with determination, and she stands tall, her radiant spear held firmly in her grip. Elder Hearth, she says, her voice resonating with conviction, is a symbol of the past, a reminder of the battles we've fought and the victories we've won. It's a testament to the strength of the Dragonborn, and it will stand as a beacon of hope for the future. She glances around at her companions, her gaze lingering on each face before settling back on Tamarus. Lead us, and we will follow.
Mistweaver's emerald eyes glow with an otherworldly light as she speaks, her melodic voice a soothing balm against the gathering darkness. Elder Hearth. A city lost to the shadows, a jewel fallen from its pedestal. She pauses, her gaze drifting to the horizon, where the first light of dawn begins to break through. But every gem can be polished, every heart can be healed. And in the depths of despair, hope often lurks unseen.
Elendil's eyes narrow slightly, a hint of warning in his voice as he turns to Valerissa. Valerissa, I must caution you, Elder Hearth holds memories that are not all pleasant for the Dragonborn. The white dragon Agathania, a broodmother, led her forces in a devastating war against Redania just recently. He pauses, letting the weight of his words sink in. We may find the city divided with lingering mistrust and fear. It's crucial that we approach this carefully, with diplomacy and understanding. We cannot afford to be seen as aggressors.
Valerissa's emerald eyes widen slightly as she processes Elendil's words, a flicker of understanding crossing her features. She nods, her grip on her radiant spear tightening as she considers the potential obstacles ahead. You're right, Elendil. I didn't think of that. The Dragonborn are not heroes here. We are a reminder of a recent conflict, a threat that must be guarded against. She takes a deep breath, her voice steady but tinged with determination. I will keep that in mind.
The late morning sun filters through a high canopy of sparse, frost-dusted pines. The road bends along a sloping ridge where the snow is crusted thin and dry. A chill wind snakes down from the east, carrying with it the faint stench of rot something older than death, faintly sweet and sour. Along the edge of the trail, a shape lies slumped in a shallow ditch. The snow around it is disturbed, scraped, not soaked. There are no fresh bloodstains. A corpse. Clothing torn. One boot missing. Its back has collapsed inward unnaturally, the ribcage sunken like dry parchment under the weight of whatever hollowed it from within. As the party draws closer, a subtle sound rises beneath the wind, a slick, wet twitching. From within the corpse's throat, something shifts. A pale green worm curls back into the shadows of its jaw. Others can be seen beneath the skin, writhing behind the torn fabric of the abdomen maggots the length of fingers, nestled in a decaying nest of flesh. But the moment sunlight touches the exposed torso, the creatures retreat, slipping into the damp cavities of the corpse like smoke drawn through cracks. The worms are alive, but they fear the light. The ground trembles faintly, not from movement, but from wrongness. All is still again. The smell lingers. The corpse does not rise, but something nearby may.
Hromgar's face contorts with disgust as he takes in the sight before him. His hand tightens on the haft of his battle axe, the ancient weapon vibrating slightly with a mixture of rage and revulsion. By Moradin's beard, what foulness is this? He growls, his voice a low rumble that echoes through the frozen landscape. He glances around, his keen dwarven senses on high alert. This is not the work of any natural creature. This is a corruption that eats at the very soul of the earth.
Valarissa's emerald eyes widen as she takes in the horrific scene, a mixture of horror and determination settling over her features. She steps forward, her radiant spear held at the ready, its golden inlays catching the faint light filtering through the pine canopy. This is the work of Cuse, she says, her voice low and steady. The worm that walks. She glances around, searching for any sign of movement, her senses heightened to an almost supernatural level. The corruption spreads, tainting everything it touches.
Miss Weaver's emerald eyes narrow as she studies the corpse, her melodic voice tinged with a hint of caution. A name spoken in whispers, a shadow cast by the light of knowledge. She steps closer, her keen senses picking up on details others might miss. The worms, they are not merely feeding on decay. They are part of the corruption, born from it, and feeding it in turn. She pauses, her gaze drifting to the surrounding forest. This is but a symptom, a warning.
The sudden quiet falls over the area as the party speaks, as if the city itself is listening to their every word. Tamaros not only feels the something if feeding the corruption of Cuse, but also feels the demency. The two entities seem to be in a state of perpetual war.
Tamaros's eyes narrow as he approaches the corpse, his senses tingling with an unsettling awareness. He feels a dark presence, a malevolent force that seems to be feeding on the corruption. It's a familiar sensation, one he's encountered before in his battles against the demonic hordes. But this is different. This corruption seems to be alive in its own right, a parasitic entity that thrives in the shadows of Elderhearth.
Grumgar's hand tightens on his battle axe, his knuckles turning white with the force of his grip. He steps forward, his voice a low rumble that seems to vibrate through the very earth. We cannot let this foulness spread any further, he says, his gaze fixed on the corpse and the surrounding forest. Elderhearth must be cleansed, its people protected from this abomination. He turns to the party, his eyes burning with determination.
The trail continues along the outskirts of Elderhearth, weaving through half-frozen marsh and withered tree groves. The scent of rot still lingers in the breeze. Just beyond a bend in the road, the party comes upon a small, makeshift checkpoint, recently erected and fortified with stone blocks, scavenged lumber, and crude banners bearing the starburst cudgel of St. Cuthbert. Six armored figures stand in formation. They wear white tabards lined with gold over burnished steel, each bearing a plain cudgel at their side, and a judgmental gaze behind cold, disciplined eyes. One among them carries a long staff, topped with a polished cudgel, identifying him as the leader. Their formation tightens as the party approaches. This is not a military checkpoint. This is an Inquisition line.
Grumgar steps forward, his hand resting on the pommel of his battle axe. He eyes the Inquisitors warily, his voice firm but respectful. Greetings, holy ones. I am Antoine. We be travelers, on our way to Elderhearth. Might I ask what brings St. Cuthbert's finest tay, the outskirts of this fair city?
You seek Elderhearth? Then you are a fool, or a vessel for sin. He gestures to the snow-choked hills behind him, where faint plumes of greenish haze can be seen twisting into the sky far in the distance. The city is dead. Every soul within it has been claimed by worm, by rot, or by blasphemy. There is nothing to reclaim. No innocence to save. His hand tightens on the staff. The others shift behind him, armored boots grinding into frost-covered gravel. We are here to ensure it does not spread, to cleanse what even the gods have turned from. If you enter, you do so in defiance of divine order. And by St. Cuthbert's word, we will not let that stand.
Valarissa steps forward, her hand resting on the shaft of her radiant spear. Her emerald eyes meet Aldrin's gaze, unwavering and filled with conviction. Divine order? She says, her voice steady and firm. The gods are not always just high, Justica. Sometimes their will must be challenged, questioned to bring about true justice. She glances at the haze rising in the distance, her expression solemn. We cannot stand by and watch Elderhearth fall. There may be those within who yet resist the corruption, who need our help.
The silence that follows Valerissa's words is immediate and oppressive, like a sword unsheathed in a silent room. High Justicar Alderaan Maris doesn't flinch. His expression doesn't harden because it was already chiseled from stone. But there's a shift in his posture, a subtle tension in the way he straightens his shoulders and lifts his gaze to meet hers. Around him, the other zealots grip their weapons more tightly. Not out of fear, but in preparation. Snow swirls faintly between them, and the green haze rising from Elderhearth shimmers like an open wound in the sky. Aldrin's voice cuts through the stillness.
Justice is not born from questions. It is forged in law, in obedience, in order. He takes one step forward, his boots grinding against the frost-laced earth. You speak of gods as if they need your correction. But St. Cuthbert does not yield to mortal sentiment, nor to the delusions of heretics wrapped in righteous banners. He lifts his cudgel staff slightly, not in threat, but in declaration. Elderhearth is not falling. It has fallen. Whatever lingers within is not resisting it, is festering. And if you would enter that place in search of salvation, then you are already touched by the same corruption. His gaze tightens on Valerissa, then Tamaris. You will not pass. Not while I draw breath.
Valerissa's hand tightens on her radiant spear, her emerald eyes flashing with determination. She steps forward, her voice filled with conviction and strength. You are wrong, High Justica. The gods may not need our correction, but the people do. We are here to protect them from the very corruption you seek to destroy. She glances at her companions, her voice rising slightly. Together we will enter Elderhearth. Together we will challenge the worm that walks, and bring balance to this land.
Tamaros steps forward, his hand resting on the vorpal blade at his side. His voice is calm, but there's a dangerous edge to his words. You speak of law and order, yet you deny us the right to make our own choices. We are not here to challenge your authority, High Justicator. We are here to save those who cannot save themselves. He glances at the green haze rising in the distance, his eyes narrowing. The corruption you seek to destroy is already spreading. We cannot stand by and watch as it consumes more innocent lives.
Mistweaver's emerald eyes flicker with an otherworldly light as she speaks, her melodic voice carrying a hint of warning. High Justicar, I sense a darkness in you one born, not of malice, but of misguided conviction. She takes a step forward, her form seeming to shift and merge with the shadows. You believe you are doing what is right, but your actions will only fuel the very corruption you seek to destroy. She glances at Valerissa, her voice softening. Together, we can bring light to the darkness.
A long, tense silence follows. Aldrin does not respond at once. The muscles in his jaw tighten as he scans each face Valerissa's fire, Tamaris's steady defiance, Miss Weaver's shadowed grace. What he sees is unity, purpose, a threat. Behind him, the zealots shift. One lowers a visor. Another taps a cudgel against his open palm. A third mutters a short prayer under his breath, invoking protection not for his life, but for his soul. Then Aldrin speaks again, quieter now, but with steel beneath every syllable.
Aldrin's grip tightens around the staff of St. Cuthbert, the golden cudgel at its crown gleaming as if judgment itself were watching. He looks first to Mistweaver, his expression narrowing with veiled disgust. A Faeborn whose kind twisted mortal minds long before the first codex was written. Your words a shadow and deception. No light passes through your soul. Then to Valerissa. The edge in his voice turning to open contempt. And you, spawn of dragons, kin to devastation. You dare speak of justice while your kind still stalks these mountains like ghosts of war. You insult the gods and expect mercy. Finally, he steps forward just once toward Tamaris and lowers his voice into a deadly hush. And you, devil spawn, leashed by a queen of hell, speaking of salvation while stinking of infernal contracts. I have seen your kind before. I have burned them, and I will do so again. He raises his staff, planting it in the frozen soil. You will not pass. A gesture. The zealots behind him shift into defensive formation, three forming a line across the road, two drawing crossbows, and the last muttering divine wards under his breath. Turn back now, or be cast down in holy fire.
Mistweaver's emerald eyes flash with anger, but she keeps her voice calm and steady. High Justicator, you judge without understanding. The Dragonborn have turned from their warlike ways. They seek peace now, not devastation. And Tamarus is not a servant of hell, he is a champion of Eterna, the goddess of balance and order. She guides his hand, not a contract, but a sacred duty. She turns to the other companions, her voice softening. We cannot let this misguided man stand in our way.
Valerissa's hand tightens on her radiant spear, her emerald eyes flashing with determination and a hint of sadness. High Justicator, your words are filled with ignorance and hatred. We do not seek to challenge your beliefs, but to show you that there is another way, one that embraces unity and understanding, rather than division and fear. She glances at her companions, her voice steady and resolute. We will not turn back. We must enter Elderhearth and bring an end to the corruption that threatens this land.
Tamarus's hand rests on the Vorpal blade at his side, his eyes fixed on Aldrin with an unwavering gaze. You see only what you want to see, High Justicator. We are not your enemies. We are those who seek to protect the innocent from the true source of corruption. His voice is low and calm, but there's a dangerous edge to his words. The worm that walks. It does not care for your laws or your divine order. It will consume all in its path, and when it does, there will be nothing left for you to save.
Gromgar steps forward, his massive form towering over Aldrin. He speaks in a low, rumbling voice that seems to vibrate through the very earth. You've made your choice, lad. Ylne, let us pass. His hand tightens on the pommel of Forge's pride. So be it. He glances at Valerissa, a fierce determination burning in his eyes. We'll handle this. Get ready.
Aldrin's face hardens into something colder than wrath, disappointment shaped into a weapon. No cry of heresy. No flare of righteousness. Just a single word. So be it.
As Aldrin raises his staff and speaks the words, so be it, a chilling horn echoes through the valley. Deep. Clear. Final. Dotty. It comes from beyond the trees, a signal, not a cry. It rolls over the snow-covered hills like a divine decree, and its echo carries far too long to have come from just six men. From the tree line behind the roadblock, faint glints of additional tabards and steel emerge. More zealots, some mounted, some carrying tower shields etched with the Saint's Starburst sigil, are already advancing into position. This was never going to be a conversation. It was a test. A trap. And the sentence has been declared. The zealots charge.
Tamarus's eyes narrow as he sees the zealots charge, a fierce determination burning within him. He draws his Vorpal blade, the legendary weapon humming with a deadly energy. Hold fast, he calls to his companions, his voice filled with conviction. We will not falter. We will not fail.
The first six zealots move like a hammer descending, not chaotic, but perfectly synchronized. Shields lock. Weapons rise. Incantations ring out in tight, practiced phrases. Snow explodes beneath their boots as they charge forward, three to the front, two flanking left and right, and one hanging back to call divine blessings from behind a raised shield. The earth trembles with their approach. Steel meets resolve. Valerissa intercepts a hammer swing with the haft of her radiant spear, the blow crashing against her like a battering ram. Gromgar is already mid-roar, meeting the shield wall head-on with a deafening clang, his axe singing through the air. Mistweaver slips into shadow just before a mace smashes the spot where she stood. Tamarus raises his hand, a Vorpal blade slicing a warding sigil into the air just in time to deflect a sanctified bolt of light, hurled from the rear caster. Behind the zealots, the second wave crests the ridge-mounted riders, now clearly visible, their armor glinting with holy iconography. The sound of pounding hooves and thundering prayer grows louder with every breath. There is no room to negotiate. There is no retreat path not already closing.
Valerissa's hand tightens on her radiant spear, her emerald eyes flashing with determination as she faces the charging zealot. Hold firm! She cries to her companions. We will not be moved by their faith. We will stand strong in the face of their misguided beliefs. With a roar that echoes the dragon's might, she charges forward, her spear a blur of golden light as she meets the shield wall head-on.
Gromgar's battle cry echoes through the valley, shaking the very earth beneath their feet. He charges forward, his massive form plowing through the snow as he heads straight for the shield wall. With a mighty swing of his battle axe, he brings the weapon crashing down upon the shields with a deafening clang, the impact driving the zealots back several steps.
Gromgar moves first, his roar rolling through the valley like thunder from the mountain's heart. He barrels forward, snow exploding beneath his boots, Forge's pride gleaming in his hands. With a massive swing, his battle axe crashes into the shield wall with a deafening clang, splintering wood and staggering the front line. Before the zealots can recover, Valerissa is already upon them, her voice ringing like a war hymn through the cold air. Her radiant spear arcs in a flare of golden light, driving deep between the staggered shields. Where Gromgar cracks the wall, she pierces it. The two fight as one, iron and fire, weight and speed blows, landing in rhythm, forcing the zealots back one brutal step at a time. But above the clash, the thunder of hoofbeats grows louder. Over the ridge, the second wave of zealots descends, banners snapping, weapons raised, war cries echoing across the field. They are no longer outnumbered, 2-1. They are now encircled. As the clash intensifies, Elendil weaves between combatants with that impossible grace, ducking a mace swing, leaping past a shield bash. The whispering seraphim hangs from his back, untouched for now. But then the second wave crests the ridge. From behind a boulder, a zealot archer releases a blessed bolt not meant to kill, but to silence magic. It strikes Elendil squarely in the chest, glowing with radiant scripture. His illusion vanishes mid-step. He stumbles. His boot catches stone. He falls hard, the impact knocking the air from his lungs and the fight from his limbs. His body rolls once, then goes still in the snow. Mistweaver shouts something sharp, short, but the battlefield drowns it out. Valerissa sees him go down. Gromgar turns with a grunt of alarm. Tamaris's eyes flash as he pivots, fending off a charging zealot with a flicker of dark steel. This is the moment. The one where victory leaves the field. The one where survival becomes the only goal.
Elendil Nightfall's eyes snap open, a gasp escaping his lips as he takes in the chaos unfolding around him. The blessed bolt still glows against his chest, its radiant energy pulsing through his body like a foreign invader. He struggles to push himself up, his movements slow and labored, but filled with a determination that refuses to yield.
No word escapes Elendil's lips, as his voice has been stolen from him. Elendil is on his knees, clutching at the radiant bolt still embedded in his chest, struggling to rise. His mouth opens, but no sound escapes. The whispering seraphim lies in the snow beside him, untouched and silent.
Aldrin Maris advances through the chaos, like a blade through silk. Unhurried. Unstoppable. He steps through the lines, past flailing zealots and clashing steel, and raises his gleaming cudgel over Elendil's bowed form. Silence begets judgment. The blow lands with a hollow, resounding crack, a prayer of law forged into violence. Elendil crumples, unconscious before he hits the snow. Then Aldrin turns. His gaze finds Mistweaver, who is mid-lunge, her emerald eyes narrowed with fury. A single word escapes his lips, an invocation, ancient and absolute. Begone.
A glyph of burning light explodes beneath her paws. The banishment is instantaneous. She vanishes in a spiral of silver and white, her presence ripped from the battlefield like thread from cloth. And just like that, two are gone. The air stills for a heartbeat. Then the second wave of zealots slams into the party.
Tamaris's eyes widen as he sees Elendil fall, a surge of panic rising within him. He fends off the zealot attacking him with a desperate flicker of his vorpal blade, but his attention remains fixed on the High Justicator. Aldrin, stop this madness, he shouts, his voice filled with desperation. Elendil is no threat to you or your cause. Let us end this battle before more innocent lives are lost.
Tamaris's cry rings out across the field, cutting through the clash of steel and the chant of prayer. But Aldrin does not answer with words. He turns, slowly, his expression unchanged, neither angered nor moved. His eyes dull gray and unblinking, lock with Tamaris's as the vorpal blade flickers beside him. For the High Justicar, Tamaris's plea is not a request. It is confirmation.
Even now, the devil defends the liar and the shadow.
Another wave of zealots crashes toward Tamaris, blades raised, and behind them, the mounted reinforcements close the last gap in the valley road. This is no longer a battle. It is a purge. And the only question left is who escapes?
Tamaris's heart races as he realizes the gravity of the situation. He knows that the only way to save his companions and bring an end to this senseless violence is to defeat Aldrin and put an end to this madness once and for all. With a fierce determination burning in his eyes, he charges towards the High Justicator, his vorpal blade held high. You leave me no choice, Aldrin, he shouts. I will end this, even if it means facing the consequences myself.
Tamaris's cry cuts through the clamor like a bell tolling at Judgment's door. Snow bursts beneath his boots as he lunges forward. The vorpal blade, gleaming with unnatural sharpness, its edge hungering for the throat of a tyrant. Aldrin turns just in time to meet him, his staff sweeping into a defensive arc with a practiced grace honed through decades of crusade. Steel meets sanctified oak with a flash of white light and a sound like two realities colliding. For a heartbeat, the battlefield stills around them. Even the zealots hesitate, uncertain whether to intervene or witness. And in that instant, Valarissa moves. As Tamaris locks blades with Aldrin, sparks flash magic and steel screaming in protest. For a heartbeat, he holds his ground, eyes burning with purpose. Then a chant rises behind the line, a secondary priest, one of the zealots forming the second ring. His hands alight with golden fire shaped like a hammerhead. The words are ancient, damning precise. A spell not meant to kill. Meant to expel. To unmake what is unnatural. The hammer of light slams into Tamaris's back. He cries out, not in pain, but in resistance. The vorpal blade drops from his grip as the divine energy burns through the infernal tether that binds his soul to Eterna's magic. His knees buckle. He falls.
Valarissa's emerald eyes flash with a fierce determination as she watches Tamaris fall, a roar of defiance escaping her lips. With a powerful leap, she vaults over the zealots, her radiant spear held high. The weapon glows with an intense golden light as she brings it crashing down towards Aldrin, her voice ringing out across the battlefield. You dare lay hands on my friend? I will not stand for this. She puts all her strength behind the blow, the force of it shaking the very ground beneath their feet.
Valarissa's spear crashes down like a comet made of wrath and fire. The zealot line breaks not from fear, but from the sheer impact of her strike. The ground trembles. Shields crack. Aldrin is driven back a full step, his staff barely raised in time to deflect the killing blow. His robes sear at the edges, singed by divine light not his own. The radiant spear hums with the fury of Tel Drakon as it carves a line through the sanctified snow. But it isn't enough. The others are closing in, cutting her off from Tamaris, from Gromgar, from any path out. She stands over Elendil, his form limp in the snow. Behind her, she hears Gromgar's voice calling, but it's distant, swallowed by the ring of boots and prayer and drawn blades. The circle tightens, and Valarissa Flamefree is alone. Gromgar fights like a mountain made flesh. Each swing of Forge's pride cleaves into shield and bone alike. Zealots fall before him, but more rise to take their place. The second wave is upon them, and even his great strength cannot hold the line forever. Through the clash, he sees her, Valarissa, isolated, radiant, defiant, cut off. He sees Tamaris, unconscious, surrounded. He sees Elendil, crumpled beneath her feet. And he sees the third banner cresting the hill. A third wave. Something deep inside him breaks, not in fear, but in clarity. He knows what this is now. Not a stand. A slaughter. He could die here. He might even take a dozen zealots with him. But it wouldn't matter. They'd all fall. And then Elderhearth would fester. And the Damned Seed would rise. He grits his teeth, blood streaking his beard. His fingers tighten on the axe.
Not today, Gromgar mutters to himself, to the stone. To the gods who may be watching.
With a guttural cry, he slams his axe into the ground, throwing back two zealots in a burst of force. And then he turns. He runs not from the enemy but for his friends. To find allies. To return. To win next time. The sound of battle fades into the distance as Gromgar disappears over the ridge, each footstep a vow carved into the snow. I will return. Back on the field, the zealots close in. Aldrin stands untouched at the center, his staff raised high, his voice lifting in solemn invocation. Above them the sky darkens with gathering storm. The path to Elderhearth has become a crucible, and no one will pass through it unchanged. End of episode 3 second.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.